And there we go. There we go. There we go.
Hello. This is Tyson and Friends podcast.
Episode 18 plus, I think. I think we've done 18, 19, 20. I think
it's more up in the 20s now.
Episode 456. Today we're going to talk about, I don't know.
That was a big jump.
Rugs, I guess. Rugs.
Rugs. The rug on the Aladdin.
How it really, you know, puts the room together.
Rugs, huh?
Yeah. I don't know what else to talk about.
Well, we do have a very big rug at my house.
I used to have a big rug down here.
Have you ever picked up a giant rug? No, it's not easy to carry.
No.
You got to have two people or more.
Seems like a big flaw with a rug there that, you know, anything that requires two people. No, sir.
Imagine that rug being the flying carpet.
Yeah, in Aladdin.
And it lands on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That could kill someone, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
The flying carpet could be like a murderer, you know. A killer. Killer rug.
So, like, the flying rug just seems like a security issue. Just like, someone's going to get hurt on that rug. Like, you sit in the middle, are you just going to, like, just keep falling down until, like, the rug just, like, bags you up or something? Or how does this work?
Yeah, it's a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. Have you ever flown on one?
No.
What?
But, like, rugs don't have bones, so I don't know how the rug's going to stay nice and straight. I feel
they don't have bones. They don't have vital organs either.
Yeah.
How's he thinking?
There's I don't
no
know.
Brain there.
Yeah, there's no brain. There's no organs.
We'll never know, Tice.
Good old Robin Williams, though.
Oh, man.
He was a good genie.
Yeah, he was. Have you seen the new one?
No.
With
is it Will Smith?
Will
for
Smith's
the genie.
Is
he any good?
A good job.
Huh.
Yeah.
Have
not
to watch
bad
it.
Actually.
Watch it like we just watched Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll talk about Mortal Kombat. I think we want to discuss that one.
Mm-hmm.
Movies. We can talk about movies a little.
Yeah, we can talk movies. We'll talk Wonder Woman 84 since I know you're a big Wonder Woman fan.
That's actually a pretty cool movie, yeah.
Did you watch it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw it when it came out. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was good.
I mean, granted, it was like 2 hours longer than it should have been, but, you know.
I watched some other movie recently called Elvis and Nixon. It might be called Nixon and Elvis. Can't remember.
Yeah,
like
never heard of it.
4 or 5 years old. And yeah, it's just a movie about when Elvis met Nixon.
Okay.
That's
whatever.
Huh. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, that's something.
It
okay.
happened. It's a true story.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a true story. And
didn't like Elvis eat like peanut butter, like banana sandwiches?
That may be something. I didn't learn that.
Sounds like something Elvis would do, right?
But we watched like a special on him after that, and apparently Elvis loved televisions.
Huh.
He has in his Graceland, or, you know, like mansion, 3 TVs were like built into the wall, which just was unheard of back
like
then.
Like CRT tube TVs?
Yeah.
Oof,
well,
man.
That's all they had. Like the ones that were sitting on stands, or, you know, this is the 70s. At the
time. Oh yeah. Oh, the TV that was part of your furniture, but it had like a screen that was like an inch big, but it weighed
these
like
ones,
600 pounds.
He had a wall that had 3 of those big box TVs Dang. Stuck into the wall, and he learned to watch 3 TVs at once from somebody. I can't remember what it said, but he just preferred that, and he loved movies and just sitting back and watching shows and movies. So that was something I didn't know.
Sit back, watch stuff on your VCR.
Yeah, and he. This is kind of spoiling the movie, but maybe you don't care. Maybe our listeners don't care. If there are any of you out there. he wanted to be a federal agent really bad. And so,
that's cool.
You'll have to see what happens with that.
I watched a documentary, I think, a week or so ago. It was like, I think it's called The Problem with Apu, from The Simpsons.
Really?
Yeah.
A whole documentary on this?
Yeah.
There's Problem with Apu.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people from India who... It basically, Apu just kind of...
Is a stereotype.
Yeah, and the racism that went along with that.
Yeah, kind of did, huh? They probably... We didn't think about that as kids, but
nope.
Maybe we were offending Indians the whole time.
Yep, that's kind of what happened. And that's how he talks about it, really.
So what did... In a nutshell, what did Indians have to say about Apu?
They didn't like him. Because, you know, a lot of people were like, thanks, come again, you know, type of thing, whenever they'd see it, you know.
But he was like a nice store owner guy. I mean,
yeah,
not like he was, I mean, he wasn't dumb or anything.
No.
He was just like the quickie mart.
Oh, yeah, but it's how, you know, people take all the catchphrases and all the racism and stuff.
Yeah, the accent.
And when that's all you hear, it's like, this character's not good. Apparently, the guy who voice acted him, he started to go out and apologizing for Apu.
Was he an Indian guy?
No.
He's just some American dude that imitated. Hello, I'm Apu.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Quickie Mart.
Yeah, that's how it is, you know, because, I mean, a lot of these shows, especially back then, you got the talent that was around, and that was Caucasian people.
Mm-hmm.
So you had Caucasian people playing color characters.
I work with tons of Indians, and yeah, I know a lot about their culture now. And they do talk like that.
Mm-hmm.
Some of their accents are stronger than others.
Sure.
Some of them have been more Americanized because they've lived here longer, but it seems like no matter how long they've been in America, that accent sticks around, usually, in some ways, one way or another. That's fine. Mm-hmm. I can't understand some of them. If it's really a strong accent, then that's difficult. But I think I've gotten better. And they have their own English. It's like India English.
And it's like more, how we have American English.
Well, and it's more British than it is American English. Because Britain's kind of settled.
Yeah.
They kind of took over India for some time there, right?
To be fair, Britain kind of took over everybody at some time.
And so it's like, they kind of have that English over there.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's a word I'll even tell you now. I never used it before. It's just, there's so many examples like this, but this is the only one I can think of. We use the word postpone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, did you know there's an opposite to that word? Prepone?
Okay.
It's Indian. We don't use it in America. And maybe it is an actual American English word, but nobody really uses that. And so, if an Indian, I'm talking to one of them, and they throw out that word, at first I was totally taken by surprise. Mm-hmm. But now I'm just like, that word makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, instead of postponing it, they want to prepone it. So it's earlier, you know? Make it happen earlier instead of make it happen later.
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
They've
also
kinda
used it in a word, in a sentence.
I used to work with a lot of people from India when I did Microsoft support.
I'm sure you did.
Because I was on the escalation team, so... Mm-hmm. Worked with them a lot. The thing that always took me back was at times when I'd see words spelled different, like airplane.
Aeroplane.
They spell it way different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what's this? Kind I don't know this word.
British take on it.
Yep.
So we went to Arby's.
Oh, it was good.
Yeah, we had some roast
Got
beef.
Got beef and cheddar.
Yeah, I had the beef and cheddar, and I had a gyro.
I love how when we got there, you asked him about the RBQ.
And that kid had to be only like probably 17 or 18 years old.
Yeah, kid was like a deer in the headlights, like, RBQ, what's that?
He was like, what did he say back? He was like,
he's like,
Arby barbecue?
Yeah, we're like, it's a barbecue sandwich, we don't know, you know. Well, again, they stopped it, I think, at least the Arby's up here in around 2000, the early 2000s.
I mean, all the pictures I Googled, it was like old looking, like from the 90s ads.
Yeah. But again, you ask because, I mean, the whole reason we went to Arby's is because we started talking about old Arby's sandwiches, like RBQ.
Yep. Yeah, and Jason was on there asking about it. Yeah, it was good. We both got some curly fries.
Yep, curly fries. I got an apple turnover. You got a gyro and a...
Yep.
With your beef and cheddar.
And then horsey sauce. Gotta love that horsey sauce.
I like the Arby's sauce.
That's good, too. I like them both.
It sucks they couldn't give it to you in a cup, like those little cups. But I kind of see why, you know,
like no restaurants have that.
Yeah.
It's like everybody with the pandemic is like, they've shut down all their sauce condiment tables.
Mm-hmm.
And then usually you can't get refills. I mean, seems like half and half with the refill station.
Arby's, they don't, you know, you can get refills. There was no one manning the booth.
Yeah. Yeah, there wasn't, which I was a little bit surprised about because Burger King, last time we went there...
Last time we went there, we could get refills, it was like, just tell me what you want to drink.
Yeah, they made you go up front, and then it's like their rule, like, they have to give you a whole new cup and lid and straw, so it's like, okay, whatever. I mean, you got to follow the rules.
Yep.
Pandemic.
Yep.
So, yeah, I've been having back issues. I don't know if you remember,
I remember your talking about your back when we were watching Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, my lower back has... I've been having problems with it for, like, the past 2 years, but then it progressively got worse once COVID hit and I had mm-hmm. to work at home. So, I mean, if you think about it, and I think I've talked about this on the podcast, so just, like, really fast, if you're not in the office and you're working from home, mm-hmm. think about how much you don't get up anymore.
Yeah.
We don't get up as much, and there's more people going to the doctors for back issues, mm-hmm. chiropractors and stuff, because... I don't get up to even just get into my car and drive to work and then get into my car and drive back. That's another. That's one thing. Getting up to go to my boss's office when he mm-hmm. asks me to come in for just like, you know, whatever. My coworker who says, come over here, I need some help. Let me show you something. Mm-hmm. Or your coworker wants to walk to lunch, or they want to go play ping pong, or they want to have water cooler talk, or you go to lunch at Wendy's and walk there, you know, lived close by some fast food places. And so there's way less getting up for me, and maybe other people are better at this, but I'm certainly not. So pandemic just really did a number on my back. Mm-hmm. And then when I went to the chiropractor, he found, so I got workers' comp. I think we used to joke about workers' comp all the time. The workers' comp!
Yep.
I'm totally filing that.
Stub your toe, well, workers' comp.
I actually did it for once.
That's cool.
And it worked. So they're paying for my chiropractor visits because I justified it like this pandemic has caused my back problems. It literally has. Mm-hmm. Because I'm sitting here and I'm working too much and it's harder to get up. You have to have more, like...
You need more willpower.
Yeah, you do. Because everything I've got is right there at my desk. It's at my fingertips. All my coworkers are at my keyboard.
Yeah.
My boss is at my keyboard. So there's no reason to get up except to go to the bathroom, which seems to happen less at home. I don't know why. I'm forgetting to drink. I don't have people there to remind me to do stuff.
Yeah.
My wife is gone a lot at school, and then my kids are at school, and so I'm just in the basement working by myself. And it's so lonely, man. I just, no coworkers around. I'm sick of it. But anyway, I blamed it on work. Mm-hmm. So they're paying for, I filed workers' comp, and they're paying for my chiropractor visits.
That's cool.
And the chiropractor, it's like a genius, man. Within 10 minutes, my first visit, he has me do these exercises where he's pushing my against my legs. And he's telling me, I'm laying on my back. And he's like, push against my hands. Mm-hmm. And I try to push. And I do it on this leg. Try to push. And he finds out that, you know, I'm doing better on my right leg. There's more resistance there. Mm-hmm. He finds out on my left side, I'm not doing very well. And he finds out that my hip muscles and leg muscles and glute muscles, everything that kind of controls and holds up your back. Mm-hmm. And helps you to, like, compose yourself and your spine and everything, are not working. Hmm. They've kind of gone into hibernate mode.
That's not good.
The muscles are there. They're just not doing their job.
So, like, probably your back muscles are having to step up?
Yeah. Yeah. So the wrong muscles have been trying to compensate for hinging moves, like when I bend over or I do something, like anything. So, and then, like, I got used to putting my hands on my knees whenever I'd bend over, and so those muscles just started not working. I wasn't using them. So he starts doing these therapies where he's like pushing his fingers against certain muscles in my hip. I know.
It feels so weird.
It tickled. Dude, it was like, and it's weird because you kind of feel like, is this okay? I kind of feel like I'm maybe being violated a little. It's not, because those muscles are all working together to kind of hold up your pelvis and... It makes sense. He kind of explained it to me like this. In between, in your gut, where your gut is, what is there between your pelvis and your rib cage?
About 50 pounds of fat.
There's muscle, fat, guts. That's it. And then you got the spine behind it. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's all that's helping you. You've got to get those muscles in your core tightened up. You got to, and these muscles in your pelvis, on your... I can't remember what he calls these, the muscles like on the side of your hips,
yeah,
and your glutes. So he starts pushing on him, like almost like a dull needle going into my side, and he rubs your head at the same time. I'm like, why does he rub the head? He's like, there's some reflexology or some ology thing behind it, which kind of activates. He starts activating the muscles.
Weird.
At first, I was like, this has got to be some sort of like hoopla, you know, like this. This can't be a thing.
This is some lavender oil kind of cure. Then,
and after my first visit, I already felt better. He took these suction cup things, and he goes, and he like twists this thing, and it sucks up some skin into there. Mm-hmm. And athletes use these, and then leaves it on there for like 5 minutes. And then when he releases it, you know, it leaves kind of a bruise.
Yeah, a hickey.
You can see. Yeah.
He's got like a hickey there.
Do you see him?
There's, no.
There's some hickeys, I guess, on my back. What that does is it's saying, hey, body, go to that spot and heal now. Mm-hmm. You're drawing the attention to that spot. So blood flow and circulation starts going there. Mm-hmm. And telling it to kind of rejuvenate that area. And then the muscles are benefiting from it because... So he's targeting those areas. And he also did acupuncture, same kind of thing. It kind of pokes those muscles and says, hey, wake up. You need to start doing your work, your job.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, man, I'm like I'm gonna demo this for Tyson, but the rest of the audience can't see. I couldn't even do this.
Wow.
And now I'm doing these exercises where I'm gripping the floor with my feet. I'm using my thighs and my glutes and my core to hold up my body when I go. It's just these therapy things are teaching me. And these exercises that I'm doing, like dead bugs and hip movers and just all these other exercises that I'm supposed to be doing. I don't remember to do them all the time, but anyway. And then he uses this stuff called KT tape, which athletes also use, and you just tape yourself up. It's like taping your muscles and you leave it on there for days, and it kind of like helps stretch the muscles and
that's cool.
Kind of wake them up too. So, and then he invited me to this yoga class called like restorative yoga. And I was already trying to do some yoga, and I was like, okay, I never really cared about learning to do yoga until my back pain was starting to become unbearable. And then people were telling me, dude, yoga, it'll work wonders for you. But just like regular yoga wasn't doing it for me. And then until he's like, come to this class. And then they started having me do stuff. And the lady who was teaching it was one of his clients. And she's like, this guy's a whiz. He's a whiz, I'm telling you. He'll fix you up. And I'm like, we'll see. But to me, I didn't care because work's paying for it, right?
Yeah.
And plus, I hope nobody at work listens to this. But it's like, I was like scheduling my visits during my shift.
Nice.
Even better. Sounds like a double doozy, you know?
Yep.
Double whammy. So I was like, I mean, they're open during the times that I'm working, so it kind of, I can't really help it.
Yeah, you got to go.
But
go.
So I would just pick when it's less busy and then go. But it's just an hour once a week. And so, dude, I'm just in a way better place than I was. Like, I honestly couldn't even bend or twist, do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
That's enough about me.
Yeah, well, your back's gotten worse. My vision's gotten worse. So, you know.
Well, my back started getting better, though. And you were telling me about your vision. Yeah, talk about your vision for a sec.
Yeah, well, years ago, my good eye was like 20 over 80. Now it's like 20 over 400. So, I mean, both of my eyes are now considered legally blind, so.
Not legally blonde, but.
Yeah, not legally blonde, but legally blind, yeah. I mean, I can still see stuff, but...
But, like, how close would you say it? Like, how many fingers?
No, I can see five, but...
Okay, so, like, but when can you not? Is that too far?
It gets blurry at that point.
Okay.
But, like, yeah, they do the tests and everything, and they're like, yeah, it's, like, 20 over 400 now. And it makes sense, because, like, even playing games has been real difficult.
What was it
over the past year?
When you used to drive...
20 over 40 in my good eye, like 20 over 400 in my bad eye.
Okay, so you always had one really bad eye.
Yep.
But then the other eye was okay for many years.
Yep.
Now they're both just kind of going downhill even more.
Yep. That's what happens when you get old.
My eyes are doing it too, and I've had LASIK. Sucks.
Yeah. I might have to. They are talking about doing some cataract surgery. See if that helps out.
Yeah. I've had LASIK, and I could only see things up close back before LASIK. I wore glasses and contacts, but like literally, I had to have the thing right here to be able to see it.
Yeah, that's how I read stuff anyway.
Once I had LASIK, I can see it. It was reversed. Now I can see beautifully out far, like things that are right there. It's amazing. Anything where your laptop and further, best, like awesome. But then things up close, I had to readjust. I'm just like, everything's a little bit blurry and like I have to hold it back further.
Yeah.
Weird, huh?
Yep.
So the eye doctor said that she overcorrected my eyes because that's what they do in younger eyes. I was 30 when I got it. And so they said I had 20/15 vision and 20/20 in the other eye. But then who knows where it's at now. It's been 10 years since I had LASIK.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to get an eye checkup every year since. I haven't had one.
Yeah.
Supposed to have an eye checkup every year because they say, we guarantee our LASIK. If anything goes wrong, then, or if anything's not right, then you can come back in and we'll recorrect it.
Mm-hmm.
But the catch is, if you haven't been having your eye visits, then they don't uphold that.
Yep.
So, if I went in there now and said, hey, my eyes are messed up, re-laser them, they'd probably say, no.
No.
You didn't uphold your end of the bargain.
Well, to be fair, going to an eye doctor is like going to the dentist. No one does it. No one's like, I'm not going to the dentist every year.
Yeah, you're supposed to go every 6 months. My dentist sends reminders, but, man, it usually ends up being once a year for me. Because I hate it, like... I just worry that if I go in, he's going to tell me I need a filling.
I just go in when something bad happens. It's like my tooth broke in half. I guess I better go to the dentist now.
Yeah, or if it aches really bad. Ugh. So, that's too bad. And that your eyes are getting worse.
Yeah. Some games I can still kind of play okay. Like, WoW was really hard to play now.
Really?
Can't really read the text anymore.
There's a lot of small text, huh?
Yeah, and I'm like, if I play it, like, I'm goofing around on a low-level character, and the only reason I kind of know what to do is because I've done it so many times.
Yeah.
Just, like, muscle memory.
Well.
But other than that, yeah, it's just,
I guess just keep going to the doctor and doing what they suggest, because if you trust your doctor, then they probably know what's best.
Yep.
Maybe cataract surgery would help.
I go back tomorrow, at least the day we're doing this podcast tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
You know, because they think they saw some like dark spot in my eye, and they want to see if it's blood and all that.
Oh yeah. Shoot.
Yeah.
My aunt, she started losing sight in one of her eyes. They did a check on it and found that the retina thing was detaching from it.
Mm-hmm.
She had a detached retina. Had a surgery. It didn't work, and her eyesight completely just went away. She just can't see out of it now.
Hmm.
Sucks. And then this crappy thing happened, starts happening with the other eye.
Yeah.
And now she's, like, being told she should try another surgery. And she's, like, really doesn't want to do
that. Yeah, I understand that. Like, I don't really want to do any surgeries either. I mean, I've got one good eye. Something happens, it's like, I'm screwed.
Yeah. Shoot.
Man. That's why a lot of doctors have never really done anything as when I was a child with it, because it's like, well, you mess up, kid's blind.
Yeah.
You know?
Is it a high risk procedure?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a high risk in that I don't have two, I have one working eye.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that happens, you know?
Yeah.
What do you do?
That sucks, man.
Yep.
Well... Let's see. Let's move on to the traffic was fun.
Yeah.
Getting over here.
Orem's too busy.
Well, and I'm not just talking about Orem. We'll talk about that in a sec, but
there's been a lot of accidents today, and that's
I was going southbound on I-15 from Lehigh to here, and it was like there was two accidents on I-15 coming south, and I'm like, really, people? And I'm thinking, why are all these people on the road? Aren't most people still working from home? I guess not. Like, I really thought that more people were working at home, but it seems maybe I'm mistaken there. Maybe a lot of people are returning to the office.
Yeah, a lot of people, it seems like a lot of people want to go back to the office.
Yeah, and so, and people forget how to drive. It's just like, now that, and two accidents going southbound, are you kidding? So it's adding an extra 20 minutes to get here. So what do? I take the exit to try to take the surface roads, State Street, all the way here. And I see that that's adding an extra 45 minutes because there's an accident on that road.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I was. Jeez. I went to Walmart today with my mom, and on the way back, there was an accident, too.
On State Street?
Yep.
Yeah, Orem. Let's talk about Orem for a sec. It is growing into something else, man.
Yep.
Like, right next to your house here, I'm not going to say locations, but there's these huge, like, what do you call this? High-density apartments? Complexes? Yeah. That got built right next to you. And, geez, like, does that add a lot of traffic into your neighborhood here?
I haven't really, again, I don't really notice because I don't drive.
It's probably not too much traffic into this part.
Yeah.
Because they all go out that way and to State Street.
And there's that one road they built in that takes you.
Yeah.
I love that road that
That's
they put
awesome.
In.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fantastic road. I used to live next door to Tyson, right here.
That's how we met.
Yep, and we always talked about how we wished there was a road that went right outside our cul-de-sac here that would connect to the main road
street,
over there.
And they eventually did it.
And, yeah, it wasn't until, like, 10 years after I was gone that they finally did that.
Yeah, they're like, well, Justin finally moved out. I guess we'll move on to the road project.
If I recall, the person who owned this land to the east of you, they did not want to sell any of it.
No.
And they still are holding on to some of it, huh? Like half
probably,
of it.
Yeah. It's, yeah, because the land used to just be, if you remember, it used to just be like cherry tree, like a big cherry tree orchard that everyone would go to during the summer and steal cherries. You know, what do you
Well,
mean?
When I moved in, it was all just dirt.
I think by the time you moved in, they might have started chopping the trees down, but there was a time where it was just all cherry trees.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was all just dirt when I got in, and the guy would have to take a tractor mower and just, like,
Because the weeds. Yeah, like, because the weeds would get, like, 7 feet high.
Yeah, they'd get pretty big. But there was this little trail close to our cul-de-sac that you could ride your bike on, or we'd walk on it, and it would cross a little water ditch, and I think that's for their water rights, so they would let the gate through. Sometimes it had water coming through it. That same canal would go through behind our backyards.
Yep. Bless whoever would steal the pallets and, like, stuff wooden pallets in the ditch to make a bridge.
Yeah.
Bless you. Doing the Lord's work there.
Because we could ride our bikes over that thing.
Yep.
But we used to walk to Orem Jr. right across. And we would jaywalk.
Mm-hmm.
We would jaywalk State Street and 800 North. I mean, that is so dangerous. Those are the two busiest roads in Orem. Well, other than the University Parkway, but...
Man, I hated Orem Junior High.
Ugh, Orem Junior.
I don't know what it was, but, like, that school was extremely warm inside. A lot warmer than it should have been. Uncomfortable.
Well, and the auditorium, do you remember the big tiles that were falling off the ceiling?
No.
They were.
Wow.
We were in there doing, like, gym basketball or whatever, just PE, and all of a sudden you hear this big old, like, thud. Well, you turn around and there's a big old tile that just fell straight to the ground. Jeez, that could kill a kid.
Mm-hmm. I remember when they put in that track in Orem Junior High, when they put, like, that rubberized stuff in. Oh, that felt so good walking on it.
Oh, yeah. I don't think they had that when we were there.
I think it was there the last year we were there.
We were in band there, though.
It got put in.
You, me, and Luke played the trumpet. Wasn't there another?
Julio played the trumpet.
Julio played it with us, yep. I think that's kind of where the four of us met.
I don't know about...
Julio, and...
Yeah, probably.
Luke. Yeah. Good times, man.
Yep.
Played the trumpet, and we were in symphonic band. That was fun.
Yeah, I played the trumpet throughout junior high, and then the first year of high school, and then I was like, I'm not really enjoying this.
Yeah.
Well, that and I got worse in high school because I stopped practicing.
Yeah, I played my sophomore and then half of my junior year, I think. And then I just quit because I wanted to take some other classes. And my wife, my mom didn't want me to quit. She was like, why are you stopping? It's like, because everybody makes fun of you. Like, you're walking around with a trumpet case, people think you're a nerd. You're a band nerd.
I used to have people get mad at me all the time because I carried my trumpet case because I would take the bus home when I was in junior high before we met.
Yeah.
And there generally wasn't enough seats for everybody, so I'd kind of be standing there and, you know, the bus is moving around and my trumpet case is, like, swinging around and it would hit someone's arm and they'd always yell at me. That's how I remember junior high. Everyone hating me because I played the trumpet. There was that lady on the bus that would always hit me. I don't know what was wrong with her.
Well, David said he can't join us tonight. That's all right. On the podcast.
That's okay.
That's fine. So, there's... I think it was Derek who said that there was more condos, like, that might be going in Orem sometime soon.
Huh.
Like, a whole bunch of high density. I think it was over on 1600 State area. So that's a little bit further from you, but...
Now people are going to be able to pinpoint where I live.
And all these city people were, like, against it. All the people from the city, like, citizens. But I guess they're going to do a town meeting or council.
To be fair, everybody's, like, always against any type of apartments or condos or anything that goes in.
Well, there's a lot behind my house that's empty. And, you know, it's a fence there, but there's only six neighbors' homes in my neighborhood that border it.
Yeah.
And the people want to keep it and do light industrial there. They, like, leveled all the trees. And it just used to be an empty field.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of Russian olive trees, which are kind of, like, ugly, but still kind of cool. It was just wild, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But they mowed them down, just turned it all to dirt, and they're sitting here waiting, like they want to put something on it. And then we go to the city council, and they've got all their family there. They've brought people from businesses, and they all go up and line up behind the microphone and start saying, well, we need it because of this, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, really? You guys had this all planned out.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my wife and two other neighbors are there to defend our side and be like, we don't want light industrial behind us.
Yeah.
I don't want, like, big old diesels and tractors and dust kicking up. And I mean,
you don't want, like, all smog and pollution and junk.
We're families over here, like, with little kids. And I mean, would you want tractors and trucks and diesels in your backyard?
Nah, I kind of got those in the backyard now with that strip mall that's back there.
Yeah. I mean, that's commercial, so that is another thing. But what it was going to be in the city's master plan was low-density housing, just like what I live in. And we want that. Because if they did that, they could connect the road that they have from our neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it could go through to that road, and it's another way out for us. And they don't want that to happen. They don't want to... They want to use it for their light industrial, so... Pretty much, they're probably going to win.
Yeah, they'll probably make more money industrial anyway.
Well, they're like a big Lehigh family name that's been around since, you know, what's his name, founded the city.
Mr. Lehigh.
Wasn't that guy. Lehigh is a prophet in the Book of Mormon.
Mr. Lehigh founded the city. Lehigh.
I want to say that it was Bishop Evans was the main guy who founded Lehigh. He was one of the first pioneers that ended up there. And Porter Rockwell, believe it or not, you know who that was, right?
No.
He was Joseph Smith's bodyguard.
Hmm.
Killed a lot of people. Got shot at a lot, too, but never died. He was promised that if he didn't cut his hair, it's kind of like the story of Samuel in the Bible. If he didn't cut his hair, he would survive and he would live. And
take it, he never cut his hair.
Never did. and he was a good bodyguard for Joseph Smith, and then I think later Brigham Young. And so he would come to Lehigh, I think, and hang out there, like when it was an old Western town, you know. Anyway, you can look up, any listeners who are interested in Porter Rockwell, look him up. He's a very interesting guy. So
Yep.
Vaccine.
Yeah, I'm vaccinated. I'm good to go.
Should we talk about the vaccine?
If you want. I know we
we're not talking much about video games right now. Yeah.
Most of what we talked about was just frustration with people not wanting to get the vaccine.
Well, yeah, and we talked about how I just think it's funny that there are people out there who advocate for ending this pandemic, and they're the kind of people who are like, no, you can't tell me what to do. I'm not going to wear a mask. I have my own freedoms, blah, blah, blah. And they want, they complain that we're in this predicament and this pandemic.
Yeah.
Yet they're not willing to go get the vaccination.
Nope.
So that doesn't, it's like, well, you want it to end, but you don't want to do the thing that will end it.
Yeah. Because I don't understand that work.
Logic. Yeah. You know? I mean, I get it if you have a health issue. If you're allergic, you have lots of allergies, you're concerned that, you know, the COVID vaccine could harm you. I get mm-hmm. that. But where most of us are not in that boat, and you're in good health, you don't have some pre-existing condition that will react to it.
Yeah.
Why are you not getting it? I don't know. I'm not.
Yeah.
And my buddy, we had a good conversation. He has the opposite view, and we had some back and forth. I'm trying to see his perspective. He's trying to see mine. We're not being rude. We're just trying to have a conversation about it. No one's treating each other badly. I mean, maybe I kind of said something that was rude, but
yeah.
It's hard not to offend people when they're so passionate about things.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to do my best, but to understand it. But, like, to me, it's logic. If enough people take this vaccine, we'll get mm-hmm. out of this.
Yeah, that's true.
If people don't and they refuse to, we're going to just stay put.
Yeah, we're just, yeah.
We're going to be crippled here with the coronavirus longer.
Yep.
Is that what people want? I don't think anybody wants that.
Nope.
I think we all want to get out of this.
Yeah. We want to get back to, you know, before the virus.
And he said, you know, it's the people who are getting preachy and shaming others to take it that's bothering him. And I get that. Like, but that sucks.
Who's really shaming people, though?
He feels like the government is pushing too hard, and that people who are really passionate about it are, like, making others feel bad who are, like, not certain if they want it. I understand where they're coming from. That makes sense. I don't like being forced into something I don't want to do, but think about it. This is for the betterment of everyone, of society. Mm-hmm. It may not be something that you want to do, and you don't love the idea of going and getting jabbed by a needle and having a little bit of pain maybe, and potentially feeling some chills and a fever and a sore arm. I had a sore arm. I took the Moderna.
Mm-hmm.
And my arm was sore. My wife got it. Her arm was sore. I got really tired. That was really the only side effect I had. And I started getting the chills, but I think it was just because I was so tired. I wanted to go to bed, and so I decided to take a bath. And
yeah.
Once I took off all my clothes, I was, like, shivering. I was, like, having the chills because I wanted... You know what? Like, right before you get in the bath, you're like, I want to get in there. I think yep. it was just that. And once I got in the bath, it felt so good. It was, like, the world's best bath
nice.
I've ever had.
Nice.
It was so soothing. And, like, I went to bed at, like, 9 p.m. that night and woke up at, like, right before I had to work.
mm-hmm.
And I felt great. I just had a sore arm. That was my first Moderna shot. Haven't had the second one yet. And you had both of yours.
Yep, had both of mine. The first shot really didn't do anything. I had I had the soreness.
Mm-hmm.
Second one was probably the worst. Yeah, that's, you know, where I had the soreness. I felt a little sick. But again, I slept it off. Woke up the next day perfectly fine.
Yeah. You got the Moderna?
I got Pfizer. I really wanted the Johnson & Johnson with the baby stem cells. Give me those stem cells.
My my wife's uncle got it.
Mm-hmm.
He's fine. It's interesting that they pulled it off the market because, what was it, 6 people?
Yeah, 6 out of 6 million.
Which is like... Blood clot issues?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's such a small number,
It is a small number.
You know?
But I guess they want to be safe and don't want to take any risks. But that would have been a nice one because that's a one shot.
Mm-hmm.
One shot dealio. Yeah, I have to go back for my second one. I think it's like May 18th or May 20th or something. I'm excited for it, but I'm also a little nervous because I've heard the second Moderna shot kind of sucks for some people.
Yeah, the second one is generally when all the big issues hit you.
Which means it's working because
yep.
It reacts off the first one. It's like the booster that kind of says, because you can't get it too early from the first shot, and you can't get it much later than the second.
Mm-hmm.
You have to wait about a month is what they want. 4 to 6 weeks, I think they said.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm doing, and, you know, for me, this is my opinion. I just feel like I can do my tiny little part to help with this.
Mm-hmm.
If everybody else did the same, we could get it gone quicker.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand. People don't want the government telling what to do. And, you know, my friend said, well, I think a lot of people don't trust the government. Well, okay, fine. But this is not something that was made by the government.
Yeah.
I understand the government's trying to push for it, but everybody's trying to push for it. Everybody wants this over with. And the government's just also there telling people to go get it. I mean, mm-hmm. leader of our faith, LDS faith, told all the members to go get it too. I mean, they didn't say, go get this. They encouraged. That's mm-hmm. the right word. No one's forced to do it. You live in a free country. You don't have to go get it. But then Tyson brought up a good point, which was...
Yeah, why we're eating is that a lot of places you're required... You have to get certain shots. You're generally required to get certain shots. Like, to go to school, they generally want you to get certain vaccinations.
Unless you have, like, a good justification for...
Yeah.
There's ways you can get out of that, but you have to have, like, a written consent.
Yeah, and even with you, you said when you went on your mission, you were required to get shots.
I went on a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Mm-hmm.
It was a 2-year mission, and before I went, I had a checklist of immunizations I had to get. One was yellow fever, hepatitis A, B, and C. We called one of those the peanut butter shot because it was a really thick shot, and it hurt. That one hurt for days. Didn't make me sick, just like so sore.
Yeah.
Worth it though, because I would rather get those shots than get the disease.
Yeah, that's why
the whole point?
Yeah, that's why, like, when you're a baby, they give you all those shots.
I feel like this is science at its best.
It's because they want people to live. I know this is crazy for some people.
It's a weird thought.
But we want people to live a life as long as possible.
We want society to carry on.
Yes. You know, we want people to live. We want people to work.
Isn't this the whole point of science, like, and progression?
Yeah.
Is people have studied for years of study and research in the labs to come up with this kind of technology to be able to make this vaccine. And now we're just, like, taking that precious research and pissing on it?
Yeah.
Excuse my language, but...
It's fine.
It's upsetting to me.
Yeah, well,
like, and then the people who are against the vaccine are the same people who are like capitalists, who like push so hard to say capitalism, yay, you know, like, and I'm all for capitalism.
Yeah.
But I'm not the one saying that I'm complaining about this. Those same people, it's like, well, your capitalism is what helped this. These are private corporations that made the vaccine.
Yep, and those are the same people that will be like, I'll do anything for this country, but as soon as the country asks you to put on a mask, oh boy, did that go well.
I'll do everything. My heart bleeds for America.
Yep, America's
but
like...
But I won't wear a mask.
Yeah.
And I won't get that vaccine.
Yeah.
Well, okay, your heart bleeds for America, but your arm can't?
Yeah.
Your little tiny little baby shot.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I'm not going to lie, when that shot went in, I could hardly even feel it. I didn't even know the needle went in. I was like, wait, did you do it?
Yeah, the first one, I didn't feel it at all. Second one, I felt it a little bit. I felt like
was
the prick.
Was it like a bigger needle? Because
I don't know.
Swear, are they making needles thinner now or something?
I don't know.
I haven't had an immunization for a while. So.
First one, I didn't even know the lady did it.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, you're done. I was like, okay.
Like, I hardly even felt a pinch.
Yeah, the second one, I felt like the prick, and that was it.
Maybe she had some really good, like, numbing solution. I know they rubbed something on there first.
Yeah. Well, they generally rub like some alcohol stuff on there, kill the germs.
I mean, this is a Walmart vaccine that I got.
Mine was at like I think it emptied out. It was either Fred Meyer or Shopko.
Fred Meyer doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
And neither does Shopko.
Yeah. The building still exists.
Yikes! Are you sure you went to the right place?
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't a black market thing.
No. Well, I mean the building's big enough. That's where they do
so
it.
So maybe it's empty. Is what you're saying?
Yeah, the building's empty.
Okay, so. Where'd you go through to get your vaccine?
Government?
Well, no, but like, someone supplying it, so like, grocers a lot of times, or pharmacies.
I don't know who it was. There was,
you register, I went to Walmart and did it there.
My mom did all the registration, but like, we went there and it was like all military people there.
Oh.
So,
okay.
So I assume.
I think you got yours before, way before, because you had like a health.
Yeah, I've got high blood sugar, so I was able to get it.
But see, here's the thing. I was talking to another friend about this, and he says he doesn't want to get it right now because he feels like if he gets the vaccine now, then he's taking it away from somebody else.
No.
And I'm like, no. You don't understand, because there are vaccinations getting sent out. Whether people get them or not, they're going to go to waste.
Yep.
And they actually are. Because they have to start thawing this thing out. It has to stay frozen, right? But it has to thaw before it can inject into you.
Well, I think different ones require different temperatures.
The Pfizer needs to be even colder. Like really cold. Like dry ice needs to be in the box with it. The Moderna doesn't need to be quite as cold, but it needs to be frozen.
But the way your friend's looking at it, you can apply that to anything. If I take this chunk of meat from the store, I'm taking it from somebody else.
Well, and that logic just never really works, because the food's already here. The vaccine's already here in our country. It's been ordered and shipped and is now arrived.
Yep.
So the problem is that he said that the third world countries are not getting it. Well, that's not really something that me not taking it here is going to impact them not getting it.
Yeah.
Because it's their leaders that need to order more vaccines.
Yeah, and like you said, the vaccine's already been ordered. So if he takes it or not, it's going to somebody.
It needs to get ordered by India or Yugoslavia or whatever country it is.
And here's the thing. As more of our people get vaccinated, that's going to mean there's more vaccinations to go around to other countries, because we don't need them.
The countries that are ordering the most of them, those countries need to just get vaccinated quick.
Yeah.
Because then, I'm sorry, but yes, there are people waiting in line, but everyone's in line, right? And so I know that not the whole world can get vaccinated at once. So we've got to just give it to everybody who we can. Yes, you should give it to the people who need it more, like the old folks. But I think we're past that window, and now that's why they've opened it up for everyone who's over 16.
Yep, and again, when more people in the U.S. get vaccinated, that's more that can go to India, more that can go to everybody else.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I feel bad that India's in this bind right now. There's so many people, they don't have enough oxygen tanks. I heard they're turning to the black market to try to get their vaccines.
Yeah, a lot of it's...
That's sad, and people are dying. Yeah. They're having the worst...
Yeah, it's really bad over it just resurged.
Yeah,
really bad. But as we talked about it at dinner, that happens because a lot of those Asian countries are so packed,
and that everybody's getting the fatigue too.
Yeah, as soon as everyone kind of lets their guard down, which it seems like, at least from what I've heard, happened in India.
Happening everywhere.
I don't know if it's true, but it sounds like that's what happened. Is they just kind of let their guard down, and they're so packed that the virus just ran rampant. Yeah.
Oh,
like
sure.
Hulkamania in the 80s,
If New York did the same, and everybody just went out, and it's packed, sardines over there, too.
Yep.
Same kind of thing. I mean, we went to church, and it's funny because half the people are wearing them, half the people aren't. Mm-hmm. And, I'm not going to sit there and judge and say, hey, why aren't you wearing your mask? It's honestly, I don't really care that much because I'm partially vaccinated. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've already been exposed to it when I wasn't vaccinated. And I didn't get it. My son had it, and we didn't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
He should have gotten us all sick with it.
Yeah.
But I don't think everybody got it. And it, even if some of us did, none of us exhibited the bad symptoms of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we just need to be careful. Like, everybody has quarantine fatigue right now.
Oh, for sure.
And I get it. Like, it sucks. Everybody wants this to be done. I want to go back to the office.
But, you know, the thing is if people just did what they needed to at the start, we'd be in so much of a better situation right now.
Yeah.
And like you said, you know, we're at the end. Let's finish this. Let's do what we need to do. Let's cross the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not give up when we're like two steps away.
Yeah, exactly. Because then it really could resurge.
Yeah.
But the thing is people are complaining about these variants and stuff. I'm like, well, there's been a lot of studies that show that the variants don't really have much impact for people who've been vaccinated. Like, wouldn't you rather take the chance and have be vaccinated against the variant? Sure, the variants might come and go, but I think we're going to have a better chance to end this whole thing if we get vaccinated.
Yeah, well, like, every virus has variants. Like, the flu has variants, like, every year.
Yeah.
That's why we get flu shots every year.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, the research and the health organizations out there will keep working on things.
Yep.
I mean, have a little faith. I just feel like some people just are downers. They just feel like we're never, like, they look at it like glass half empty kind of thing all the time, like conspiracy theories. They doubt everything. They doubt the government. They doubt corporations being able to do anything. They doubt anything but themselves. The only person they trust is themselves. It's like, come on, man, get over yourself. Like, have some faith in the world and in people.
But then those kind of people, social media does not help those people out at all.
Because it's like helping tip them off, like a cliff or something.
Yep, because they'll kind of, as you say, they don't trust anybody, but they'll look for something that they do trust.
Yeah, they find this little thing, and they're like, okay, I'm going for that.
Yep, and they'll latch onto that, and it's like, well, the stuff you're latching onto is incorrect, but...
But it sounds good, and it feels good to believe in it.
Yep. But because it's like anti-government or something, they'll latch on to it.
9/11 was an inside job. We never landed on the moon. The world is flat, you know.
Look, we all know the world's a donut shape. Let's get over it.
A donut shape.
I want to live on donut Earth.
Donut Earth. So the middle is just like a big cosmic pit you can just fall in?
Yeah. It's not going to be a pit. It's going to be round like a donut, you know. It'll just have just the hole in the middle. Like a donut.
Why am I thinking of Mario Galaxy right now? Like,
because Mario Galaxy's probably pulled something like that off.
Yeah, like, I feel like you're on some like donut world or something.
Yeah, there's like Goombas at the top.
Yeah. Like a saucer planet.
There's that floating star that you just shoot all those star bits in its mouth. You're like, take it! And it's like... And then it blows up into like some other galaxy or something.
That's a great game.
Yeah, I love the first one. I never got big into the second one for some reason.
The second one's fun.
I was just kind of upset
that they didn't put that one on the Mario like bundle.
Yeah, it's so weird how that Super Mario 3D All-Stars
just included the first
one. Yeah, and they left the second, but and also how they made it a timed thing.
A timed thing?
Yeah, like they're no longer producing copies for it.
Oh yeah.
It's like
so weird.
That game I think sold extremely well. I want to say I saw numbers.
They're pulling a Disney.
Like 5 to 8 million or something.
They're pulling a Disney.
Probably.
You know how Nintendo is.
Yeah. They,
people like line up for the classics, right?
It's like Little Mermaid's coming out of the vault for 6 weeks.
For the first time on Blu-ray.
Yeah, for the first time on Blu-ray.
It's never been on Blu-ray before, but it's been on VHS and DVD.
Yeah. It's on Disney Plus in high def, but first time on Blu-ray.
Come buy it now. It's like, no thanks, because they got it on that other platform.
I want to see Disney just throw it on whatever. First time on Zip Disc. You know? Little Mermaid. 140p. On Zip Disc.
First time on Game Gear.
Yeah. Game Gear cartridge. Like, oh, I'd love to see that.
Would it fit?
No, no. Well, see, I don't know. Like,
well, today, in today's world, it would.
What? Well, I don't know what the max cart size is and how much compression you could do. And But then again, like, they did some pretty good stuff with limitations, like Resident Evil 2 on the N64 fit on a cartridge. They had to make some cutbacks here and there, but they got it with the cinematics. They got the two scenarios. Mm-hmm. They even have like a randomized mode.
Yeah.
Like whatever, you know, whatever deal with the devil they made worked, you know.
Well, how'd you get that? I made a deal with the devil.
Yeah, I made a deal with the devil, but it worked.
So you wanted to talk about Sony and their stores and
oh yeah, there was
something changing
in between the podcasts, right? Mm-hmm. Their news leaked out that was true, that Sony was going to shut down the online stores for the PlayStation Portable, PlayStation 3, and PlayStation Vita.
Is it just me, or does anybody else? I didn't know there was Sony stores.
Well, it's
like brick and mortar?
No, it's online stores.
Oh, okay.
The online stores.
I'm thinking physical stores here. I'm like, what?
Yeah, but what they're going to do was shut down those online stores. So if they shut
like
those down...
for your PlayStation system?
Yeah. If they shut those down, you could no longer get those games. Oh. And a lot of people are upset, especially with the Vita, because there's still developers making Vita games. Uh-huh. So a lot of people raised stink about it, and then Sony eventually was like, well, we're just going to shut down the PlayStation Portable store. The PlayStation 3 and the Vita stores will stay up for a while longer.
See, this is a problem, and we've talked about this, like not owning your own physical copy.
Yep.
This is the problem we're going to be facing in the new world of digital.
Well, even with physical copies, we're still going to face this issue because...
they have to update sometimes.
Yeah, because, well, you've seen it where physical copies don't actually have the whole game on it.
That's true. And if the store is shut down, but you have the cartridge, but it needs to get 20 more gigs of the game,
mm-hmm.
then how are you going to download that if they shut down the store?
You don't.
You don't play the game anymore unless it's installed.
Yeah, and there's a lot of other problems that'll happen when these like servers get shut down. People notice that if like the CMOS battery in the PlayStation 3 dies,
really?
And if it doesn't have a server to connect to, you can't play your digital downloaded games. It'll
Can
still
you
play...
get the CMOS battery replaced?
Yeah, but... once you replace a CMOS battery, you still got to update. I guess when the battery goes out, it takes some security information with it.
Whoops.
So even if you replace the battery, you got to get that.
You got to get it like replaced and checked and tagged by Sony.
Yeah, it needs to get whatever security information it does from the servers. And if there's no servers out there,
probably like a certificate or something of approval.
Yep. Then all your digital games don't work. But they say the PS4 is the worst. Apparently, really? They did tests where if the CMOS battery dies in the PS4 and that security information goes away, nothing plays on the PS4. No disc games. No physical digital. Games won't work. Digital games won't work until it can re-download that security information.
They're going to be getting a lot of calls from customers.
Yep. Well, here's the thing. In 10 years from now, they take those PS4 stores away.
They probably figure, well, people will be on different systems and they won't care about these older ones.
Yep, and so PS4s will eventually become just doorstops. It's like the CMOS battery dies, the servers are down. It's useless.
That sucks, man.
And this is the thing I hate, because it's like, you know, I want games to be preserved. Like, one of the things I love about these old classic systems, like the Super Nintendo, Genesis, like, mm-hmm. as long as my system works, it works.
I can still plug it in and turn it on.
Yeah, I can play Super Mario Brothers like it did when it came out, the day it came out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, if you take good care of your system, then it should last a long time.
Yep.
As long as you don't have a lot of wear and tear, system will probably last.
Yeah.
A couple more decades.
Yeah. Nothing lasts forever, but like, you know.
It's got mechanics in it. It could die.
Yeah. You know, but like my Super Nintendo, it's finicky. You know, there's times that you've seen it where it's a bit finicky, but we've
plays games.
Yeah. And it's like 30 years old, and here it is, still playing games like, you know, like it's a champ.
Yeah. I mean, There's the Infinity Blade trilogy on iOS,
mm-hmm.
which is an Apple platform. Can't get it anymore because Epic has that game, and Apple took all Epic's games off of the Apple Store.
Yep.
And so now I can't play Infinity Blade.
Yeah.
And I've paid money for each one of those games. I'll never be able to play them again, maybe.
Yep.
If I had left them installed on some iOS device, I could still be playing them, but I don't.
Yep. Well, the problem is like stuff breaks when you update iOS to certain versions too. So
you'd have to have an older iPhone or iPad or iPod
with that version
and never have updated your iOS.
Yep.
And never have uninstalled Infinity Blade.
Yep.
And so it's rare possibilities that you're going to have that situation.
Funny enough, there's a game, well, a demo that was on the PS4. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called PT. It was a demo for when Konami was still in plans to make a Silent Hill game.
Okay.
They made that a playable teaser for it, which is why it's called PT. But eventually, you know, all that stuff fell through, and then they took that game off the store. So you can't download it. Even if you had That's it so and you weird. Deleted it, you can't download it anymore. So now there's all these PS4s out there that people are selling for high prices. It's like, it's got PT on it. It's the only way to play PT.
Wow.
Like, my PS4 has PT on it, so I'm lucky that way.
Yours does?
Yeah.
Wow, you could sell it for some big bucks.
Yeah, I don't want to, though, because then I can't play PT, even though PT's kind of, in my opinion, a kind of a garbage demo.
Is it?
I don't think it's very fun, but I like...
It's like a cult following or something?
Yeah, I like what it, you know, the purpose of it, I like. I just don't find it to be
a
fun
game. But it was a demo, and it wasn't the full game, so they were still working on it.
Well, it wasn't even really a demo of the game, more of like a demo of the tech.
Right.
And in that way, I think it's kind of cool as a tech demo, but as something to play, I didn't think it was very fun.
Mm-hmm.
But there's people out there that, again, treat it like it's the second coming of video games.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Partially because Kojima was behind it. Oh, yeah. And there's people that, like, Kojima could poop in a box and people would talk about how it's the greatest thing ever. I just don't understand.
Have you seen that new Kojima
poop? Yeah. I just don't understand, like, that kind of, I don't know, how you just like somebody like that. Like, oh, Kojima's so great. Everything he does is so great. It's like, no, it's not. Like, they everybody idolize. Else, he makes stuff that's good. He makes stuff that sucks. You know, it's the same thing with, like, Miyamoto for Nintendo. Not everything Miyamoto did was gold.
You win some, you lose some.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so the Mortal Kombat movie.
Yeah, we saw that.
What did you think, Tice?
I thought it was good. I mean, I'd give it, like, maybe a 6 or 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was good, but, again, with a lot of game movies, they butcher the lore of the game. Mm-hmm. They change stuff around.
Yeah.
And that I think that's, again, kind of a low point, but, again, that happens with, like, any video game movie.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Like, not only did they not bring all the characters, like, from the there was a lot of characters missing.
Yeah, well,
but they changed a lot of stuff. Like, there was, I'm not going to say who, but there were characters in the movie that were just inherently bad.
That weren't bad guys in game.
Yeah, they weren't ones I ever considered the bad ones.
No, they
were ones I thought were the good guy.
Yeah, well, they were good guys in the story, but it's like, oh, we need characters that, you know.
Yeah, so they just kind of did what they want with the story.
And
I respect that in some ways. Like, they're trying to be creative, but at the same time, I'm like, that's not the classic feel of Mortal Kombat, in my opinion. And it was weird because all of a sudden it seemed like they were just jumping into battles all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And like, okay, oh, whoa, here we are. All right, this is one of the battles. Okay. It wasn't like you said.
It was supposed to be a tournament.
Yeah, it wasn't like a tournament, like official rules that they, you know, in the other one, the old, like, Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, in the first one, it was a tournament.
You're in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Let the tournament begin. And there's some dude, like, in this one, it was like, Shang Tsung's trying to break into the world and change things and surprise attack them, and it was like, okay.
And he really didn't do that in the first one. And even then, like, I know it's a spoiler here, but I don't remember Shang Tsung transforming in the movie.
He didn't. Sorry, guys.
Spoiler. I felt that, like, they could have done some cool story stuff with that. Like, imagine him being, you know, one of the good guys and messing stuff up that way, you know?
If it weren't for Kano, that could almost be a PG-13 movie.
Yeah.
Kano had about 50 of the F-bombs.
Yeah, like, pretty much all the swear words came from Kano.
Yeah, pretty much.
It was kind of funny.
That was... They tried to make him, like, this grungy, rude, jerk sailor man, like, I don't know.
Yeah. Just
full of himself and...
Yeah.
The fatalities were kind of cool. Like,
well, there weren't many.
There weren't, actually. But the ones that they had were, okay, yeah, they meant to go over the top, and they knew they were going for a rated R here, so.
Yeah.
I mean, if you played the games and seen those fatalities, I don't see what the difference is.
Well, there's pretty much watching that movie. Yeah, I mean, those fatalities are pretty much in some of the. I mean, I'm sure you could find one of the games and have those fatalities in them.
Yeah, I mean, we had a Kung Lao split.
I want to say that's in.
We had a heart ripped.
Yeah.
We had arms pulled.
Yeah.
Spoilers, sorry, but I mean, those are some of the most famous fatalities. There it goes.
Well, I wonder if it updated, because I mean, it has all the. It just shot all that information across the screen.
So we may have a dead spot in the middle of
I don't know what's going on. I might have to reformat the laptop. But it's around the hour mark.
It's recording, though.
Yeah. Right? Well, when it all came back, it just... Did you see how it went?
It was like catching up.
Last time it didn't do that.
It's like the CPU got pegged for a second.
Yeah.
So Mortal Kombat was pretty good. I would probably rate it almost the same as you did.
Mm-hmm.
6 or 7. Like, I liked it, but to be honest, I think I almost liked the original better, just because it maintained more of a classic feel to it. I understand they're trying to Hollywoodize and, you know, cinematize this thing to make it more of like a story, and they did that. It was an okay story.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool, but that's just it. It's like, it's meant to be a movie story. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's where, like, Silent Hill had that problem with the movies, where it's like, they had to change the character to female, because a father saving his daughter, that's not going to sell.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And it's like, no, that's not how the game works.
So, last thing I wanted to talk about was Apple News, because they updated... to a really big update just barely this week.
Yeah.
14.5. And now you can unlock your iPhone with your mask on now.
Neat.
This is like breakthrough. It's a little bit late in the game, I'd have to say. People have been wishing for that for like probably the last year.
Yeah.
Because if you have Face ID, which unlocks with your face, if you're wearing a mask, it couldn't see it. And you had to like either pull down your mask or type in your passcode.
Mm-hmm. Or have your cat like open it for you.
Or do that, yep. But if you have an Apple, so you have to have an Apple Watch for this to work.
Okay.
But it sees that you have a mask on. I don't have my mask with me, or else. Oh yeah, I do. Let's demonstrate this, Tyson. So like.
Okay. For the viewers at home.
For the viewers at home.
Justin so just took his shirt off.
So I have my mask on right now, and let's lock my phone. So it normally wouldn't work. It would bounce the lock symbol. Yeah. So now when I look at it, it unlocked, and it even tells you on this iPhone, it says, hey, it unlocked with your watch. Mm-hmm. Your watch has to be unlocked and on your wrist and within close proximity. Otherwise, this ain't going to work. So that's the security part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So like if somebody else took my watch, the thing wouldn't work that way. Like... because they don't know my passcode. If my watch comes off, watch, it's now locked. It immediately locks once it's off my wrist.
Mm-hmm.
This watch locks and it needs a passcode. You have to be using the passcode. Cool thing though is, I can unlock now that my watch is back on my wrist. I can unlock my watch with my phone.
Neat.
I don't have to put a passcode in it. And then it even says unlock. Anyway, that's a new feature with that. That's a big deal for a lot of people. And then this new feature is Facebook's nightmare came out. And all, like probably Google too, is app tracking transparency. Okay. ATT. Not to be confused with AT&T. But ATT just came out. And it's, app transparency tracking or app tracking transparency.
Mm-hmm.
And Facebook, this is the one that Facebook's been fighting over Apple with. And they, like, are at war with each other. Literally. Like, suing each other's butts all the time.
Yeah.
And basically it means that the app will come up and ask you, do you want to be tracked? Are you going to allow this on this app? And if the user says no, they can't track you.
Nice.
It's going to block all tracking. And so... A lot of speculation of how that's going to play out.
Yeah.
Like some people think that it might not make a difference, really. And most people are just going to say, yeah, I'm going to allow you to track me.
Mm-hmm.
because some people like that, because it gives you ad preference, like, based on your locations. And
yeah. Well, again, I can see why Facebook's going to hate it, because that's how they make their money.
Yeah.
Exactly. But at the same
Google
time...
Google makes a lot of their money that way,
yeah,
too.
But at the same time, you know, people don't want to be tracked all the time. They don't want to be watched by Big Brother.
Yep. I don't want to be watched by Big Brother.
It's like, look, yes, you know I went to a shady place. You don't need to try to sell me shady stuff anymore.
Yeah. Well, I mean, those are some of the things I want to talk about. To be continued, if you stick around, well, I guess this is going to be a separate, like, recording, but we're going to be playing the Wipeout games.
We're
going to try to play every single Wipeout game that we know of.
Yeah, the PS3 one, we're not... I can't log into my PS3 for some reason. It's not giving me the two-step off there.
Isn't
the code.
That Wipeout game on there the same as what you have?
You know, it might actually be on the PS4.
Because on the PS4, you have a Fusion...
Well, the
or something.
The PS4 Wipeout's a collection of a bunch of Wipeout games. See if it says Wipeout HD.
This one has the Wipeout Omega Collection...
Yeah.
VR mode included, has, remastered versions of Wipeout HD.
Okay.
Is that the one that's on?
Yeah, yeah, so we don't even need to hook up the PS3.
Wipeout Fury and Wipeout 2048.
And I think those are either PSP or PS Vita Wipeouts.
Yeah. And those were ones I never really played, so we're going to start with the PlayStation and do the original.
Yep.
Do Wipeout XL, which
Wipeout
was the second.
Wipeout 3.
And Wipeout 3.
Then we'll go to Wipeout on the Saturn.
Wipeout on the Saturn.
Because I don't have XL on the Saturn, but I have the first one.
Okay.
And then we got the N64.
N64 version.
And then I've got Wipeout Fusion for PS2.
PlayStation
Never
2.
Seen that, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, I have that too.
And then we can just go to the PS4 one.
And PS4 one, which has all the others, because that has the Vita one, and you have the one on Vita. Handheld.
I might. I have. I know.
But
I have
we can't
the one
really
on
record.
PC. Yeah.
That.
Yeah, because they don't really have. TV out. I don't think they have TV out, or I don't have any way to get TV out.
It's fine, because they got it on the PlayStation 4.
Yeah. But yeah.
Cool. So that's what we're going to do. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about on this podcast?
Nope.
Nope? Just like that?
Yep, nope, because I got to go to the bathroom.
You did kind of lean forward and look like you needed to do something.
Yeah, well, that's because my tailbone's hurting.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, I don't know what's
I've
up.
Had that. I bruised my tailbone a while ago.
Yeah.
One of the most painful things ever.
Yeah, it hurts.
Oh, my gosh. Like,
that's
I
why
don't
I've been moving
I...
around as we're talking, because I'm like, oh, the
oh,
tailbone
man.
Hurts.
I don't... Something happened to... Yeah, we can end this. But something happened. I did something to it, and it, all the muscles around it, your sphincter muscle, everything is affected by that tailbone.
I told my sister to get me, like, a nice titanium tailbone. You know? Time for this to go.
Titanium. I'm not sure that'll sell the
Yeah, whatever. But I guess we'll end it there at Titanium Tailbones.
Well, thank you for joining Tyson and Friends.
Yep, episode...